We're in our second shiur, and for our purposes, our final shiur on Parshat Vayishlah, having moved away from our discussions of Yerech and its place in terms of the damage Yerech of Yaakov and the interaction with the Malach, we're moving into the second part of Parshat Vayishlah. And I want to focus really on one topic within the context of the second part of Parshat Vayishlach. And that is a very important city in this Parsha, in Chumash, and in Tanakh as a whole, and that's the Parsha, and that's the city of Shechem. Good. Somebody's going to look at the top of the sheet. Excellent. The city of Shechem. And that really does follow immediately in the Pesukim. It's source number 2 intentionally on your sheets, but I want to start just looking at source number 2. Right after the interaction with Esav, which is the beginning of the Parsha, the first half of the Parsha, source number 2, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Atetziti na bat liyah asher yalda liyakov le'erot bivnot ha'aretz, vayar ota Shechem. Now Shechem here is a person, but that becomes the name of the city, becomes the place of Shechem. So we immediately move into this reality of Shechem, and we have to deal with what is Shechem really about. So we'll jump into the content of Shechem in a moment, but first I want to put Shechem in a grouping of cities. A particular grouping of cities, which hopefully by the end of the year we'll unpack what's the nature of those groupings of cities. Shechem is not just a place in Eretz Yisrael in this context that we come and we conquer. What do we actually do to get Shechem as well? What does Yaakov make sure to do? He makes sure to buy it. Yaakov goes out of his way to make sure to purchase Shechem. Now this is unusual, because if you were to look in Sefer Yehoshua, do we walk around city to city to city around all of Eretz Yisrael and Sefer Yehoshua and pull out our vast financial resources and purchase every city in Eretz Yisrael? Not a trick question. Not even a little bit, right? It's Kibush Haaretz. We go and we conquer it. The story of Yehoshua, the story of Sefer Yehoshua, the first half of the story of Sefer Yehoshua, is the conquest, the military conquest of Eretz Yisrael. There are unique cities that get singled out in the first few prakim, and then sort of in 3 prakim right there towards the middle, we just swoop in and take the rest of it, then we settle it for the next 10 prakim, we close out with the last 4 prakim, and we're done. More or less. And yet, we go out of our way to purchase Shechem. But it's not just Shechem. Shechem is actually one of 3 cities that we go out of our way very intentionally to purchase. What other cities do we go out of our way intentionally to purchase? One of them we've already come across in our travels, even in Sefer Bereshit, and one doesn't appear until much later on in the end of Sefer Shmuel. Excellent. What else? We save this time. Good, we have a lot of material to get through, so excellent. So purchasing Chevron is very explicit. In the beginning of Parshat Chayesara, you look at the opening paragraph there. It's a whole back and forth where Abraham is not only willing to pay for Chevron and Ma'arat HaMachpelah that is within Chevron for Sarah, to bury Sarah, but he insists upon it. And there's a back and forth, pasuk after pasuk after pasuk, of the negotiations and of the declaration that this was, in fact, a place that was definitively acquired by Avraham Avinu. So the second is, or rather, chronologically, actually, the first is Chevron. The second is Shechem. And Jessica, from some other context, so you just have... You remember from Chai, when we talked about this in Chai Sarah last semester. Great. In Adam Yirsha, that was in Shirkoli, actually. Yes. So I said we would come back to this topic and do it better. This is now. So you waited it out, you get the payoff. Here you go. We just said that we're talking about the city of Shechem. One of the unique aspects of Shechem is that we go out of our way to purchase Shechem in this Parsha, Parsha Vayishlach. It's one of 3 cities we purchase. The first one is Chevron in Chayisara, Ma'arat HaMachpelah. Second is Shechem. And the third one, as you said, was Yerushalayim. We go and purchase the eventual place of the Beit HaMikdash. Now, if you take these 3 cities, first of all, we have to understand there's clearly a system of 3 here. There's something unique about these cities that we're, again, going out of all of Eretz Israel, that we go and conquer. Conquest seems to be sufficient. We don't think that there's any lacking in our ownership of every other aspect of Eretz Israel because we conquered it and didn't purchase it. And yet we go out of our way to purchase these three cities. So much so that Chazal pick up on this. They make a point of this being noteworthy. Source number one from Bereishit Rabbah. In the context of the buying of Ma'arat HaMachpelah, Amar Rabbi Yudin Bar Simon, Ze Echad, speaking of Ma'arat HaMachpelah in Hebron, Ze Echad Mishlosha Mekomot She'ein Umot Ha'olam Yicholim Lahonot Et Yisrael Lomar Gozlim Bahem Biyedcha. This becomes one of three places that the non-Jews will never, that it will never be possible for the non-Jews to say, you stole this from us. The Inluhin, and they are Ma'arat HaMachpelah, which we said is Ma'arat HaMachpelah is Hebron, good. Number two, Beit HaMikdash, that would be Yishalayim. Interestingly, Ugvurato Shel Yosef, which we may come back to, the burial place of Yosef, which is Shechem. Those are the three places, interesting, that they're designated in such a way, and that needs unpacking in and of itself. But again, the Gemara, the Midrash goes out of its way, Chazal goes out, go out of its way to identify these are the three places that are purchased. Let's actually put them on a map. Some interesting things emerge when we put them on the map. So when I asked Jessica to draw the map of Eretz Israel, Jessica automatically determined that Yerushalayim was significant enough to put on the map without any request. So we know where Yerushalayim is. Yerushalayim is right there in the center of Eretz Israel, which even philosophically sort of makes sense. Where are Shechem and Hebron? Not from this year to begin with. If you were in that year, not from that year. Yeah. What's below? Which one? Excellent. Hebron is below Yerushalayim. And Shechem. It's on top of Yerushalayim. Basically, we're distant from each other. So my Rebbe points out, Ramos points out that it's very interesting that these three cities aren't just any three cities that are randomly interspersed throughout Eretz Israel. They actually create a center line down Eretz Israel, almost like the spine of Eretz Israel, the core of Eretz Israel. So these three cities establish that center line from Shechem to Yerushalayim to Hebron, perhaps even indicating, and we'll come back to this, directionality of going somehow from Shechem to Yerushalayim to Hebron. We have to unpack that. Thinking a little bit more about these cities. When we do divvy them out in the context of Sefer Yehoshua, Shechem is the capital city of which Shevet?
Yehuda.
Not Yehuda. Close, but not Menashe.
Ephraim.
Excellent, Ephraim. Ephraim, which is code for
Yosef.
Yosef, if you remember, has no Shevet identity of his own because his children both get Shvata. But Ephraim throughout Tanakh is always indicative of the Shevet of Yosef. Hebron is the capital of
Yehuda.
Yehuda.
That doesn't mean.
What's interesting about the dichotomy between Yosef and Yehuda? The primary child of
Leah,
the primary child of Rachel. And the pull between the two. In fact, when we go forward in our learning and we start Parshat Vayishev, which will be the whole kind of movement from Vayishev to the end of Sefer Bereishit, we're going to talk about the struggle between Yosef and his brothers. It's primarily the struggle between which two people, not just Yosef and his brothers, between Yosef and
Yehuda.
So we see this push and pull over here. And then Yerushalayim, who owns Yerushalayim? Would you say?
Everyone.
Not everyone.
Maybe. It's like hard because they like Benjamin was like is part of your Naphtali, but there's also...
It's divided between two. Between Yehuda and Binyamin. Binyamin also coming from, or indicative of, not coming from, but indicative of Yosef, somehow an extension of Yosef, and certainly still coming from Rachel. Again, somehow we have the Yosef Yehuda dichotomy, the Rachel Leah dichotomy, and somehow the joining together of the two in Yerushalayim, which is also very interesting and very significant. So there's a lot happening here in these three cities. These three cities that, quote unquote, happened to be the cities that we purchase. Hebron in Chayisara, we buy Marat Machpelah. Shechem by Yaakov in our Parsha. And then Yerushalayim by David HaMelech at the end of Sefer Shmuel. They form this center line. And there's something going on here clearly also with the Shvatim, who end up making these their capital cities. I want to get here. To get here, I want to focus on our topic, which is
Shechem.
Shechem is a fascinating city. Crazy things go down in Shechem. We're going to go through a whole list of sources, try to understand each one of themselves, and then see if we can make sense of them as a kind of to paint a picture as to what Shechem is really about. So every time we add a piece, you can put a bullet point on your sheet, you could put a bullet point in your notes, you could make a bullet point in your brain, wherever you want to do it. But start to hold all of these pieces, and then we'll try to bring them together to create, to pull this puzzle together of what is going on, one aspect of what's happening in terms of the city of Shechem. You ready? That's why there's two sides. This is a very packed source sheet. Most of it's about Shechem. So let's see what we can figure out. First of all, what happens in Shechem? Well, let's talk about our Parsha, right? This is technically a Parsha by Yishlach Shir. So what's happening in our parasha? Vatitze Dina bat Leah shel yalda Yaakov v'rot b'vinot ha'aretz. Dina goes out, and what happens to Dina? Dina ends up being taken and assaulted and raped by Shechem. That's the first thing that happens. Now, to make sure that we maintain our narrative in Parshat Vayishlach, that story is significant in the context of Vayishlach as well. In the last year on Vayishlach, which I know was ages ago, we talked about what word? Close. Remember? Yerech. Right? That Yaakov gets hit on his Yerech, and we talked about how Yerech is indicative of children, and the damage was going to be toward his children that would have to find their Shlemut. So immediately once there is damage done to the Yerech of Yaakov, what's the next story? Issues with lineage. There's a breach in the sanctity of the children of Yaakov. Something which never, ever happened before. Immediately following that story where we deal with the confrontation between Esav and Yaakov, Yaakov's daughter Dina ends up in a situation where there's a breach in the sanctity of the house of Yaakov and the sanctity of the children of Yaakov. So it's a direct continuation, as it should be, from last year and of the parasha itself. But we have this very negative interaction in the context of Dina and Shechem and the repercussions of that interaction. Shechem then comes up again later. So our first one is, we'll even keep our own small list over here, which may be more or less scattering and frightening than the really frightening math equations that are on this board. One second. I'll take Jimmy Taylor because I was over math any day. Okay, ready? So we have first is Dina, the story of Dina. Shechem comes up later on in Parshat Vayeshev. Where does Shechem come up in Parshat Vayeshev? Take a look at verse number 3. What happens? Through the Pesukim. Vayelchu echav lirot etzon avihem b'shchem. Vayom Yisrael Yosef halo achecha ro'im b'shchem. Lecha v'esh lecha v'chulei. What's happening here? What's the context of the story? should look familiar. Or not. Who's talking to?
Yaakov.
Yaakov's talking to who? Yosef. And telling Yosef to go and meet his brothers in Shechem. As you see the dark clouds start to gather over the sky of this story, what's going to happen in Shechem? Mechirat Yosef. Right? This is when the brothers go off to Shechem. Yaakov says, oh, go and check up on them. Terrible idea. Right? He goes and checks up on them. They throw him into a pit. They decide not to leave him there, but to sell him. It's Mechirat Yosef. So the second thing to happen in Shechem is Mechirat Yosef. I don't know how necessarily to fit this next chazal in. My Rebbe quotes it, and I couldn't leave it off because it's just fascinating and like screaming out to be understood. But these two stories are actually linked, the issues of Dina and Mechirat Yosef, in ways that are possibly, in ways that are for sure deeper than we even realize. Because Chazal say as follows in source number 4. Again, we're not going to necessarily link this into our discussion, this discussion of Shechem, but I didn't want to leave this out. It's just too good to leave out. It's too rich to leave out. That when Shechem takes Dina, that actually results in Dina getting pregnant. Dina has a
daughter.
And the daughter of Dina is rejected from the house of Yaakov because it's the result of an issue of rape and znut. And so that daughter gets sent to Mitzrayim. That daughter ends up being named Osnat Pane. No, not Osnat Pane. Osnat. Osnat Potiphera. Osnat. It's all in the Midrash right over here. It becomes named Osnat, who has a necklace around her that maintains her true identity. And she ends up being given by Paro to marry whom? Yosef. So these both happen in Shechem. Shechem seems to unite them, not just in that it's the place where Dina is raped and where Mechirat Yosef takes place, but the rape of Dina produces Osnat, who ends up getting married to Yosef. Yosef himself, which we probably will talk about in the coming parshiyot, is the embodiment of a purity in the realm of Arayos. Some of you may be making a tikkun for that, unifying together with that, and somehow bringing that to its conclusion. But like, wild story that Yosef gets sold to Mitzrayim and ends up finding the daughter of Dina, who was sold out to Mitzrayim, and the two of them get married and produce Ephraim and Manasseh.
So Yosef marries his niece.
Correct. That is the least weird part of that story.
I'm not saying it's weird, it's just underrated.
Right, what, just what?
Underrated.
Yes, I mean the whole thing's underrated. Like, it's amazing midrash. And again, showing, at the very least showing that these two stories are unified and are both, again, emanating from Shechem. Now, Yosef's journey doesn't just start in Shechem, but it also ends in Shechem, which we didn't put an emphasis on when we talked about it 15 minutes ago or so, but we already stated how his journey ends in Shechem. Take a look back at source number 1. Tell me, how does his journey end in Shechem?
Yosef being buried there.
The Gemara that